Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today and tomorrow. Maybe Monday. I'm not sure when exactly he'll be back in. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Tony Vitagliano. And now we welcome, as usual, this part of the program, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody.
Although he's... Hold up now.
Oh, no. No, wait, Paisley. That's subdued.
This is Johnny Cash.
Jordahl. I have a piano tie on. And it makes me think of piano music. I'm thinking today, I'm thinking of Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am.
I'm thinking about the pasta that I'm having for lunch today.
I have a trivia question for you that you can use tomorrow. I will allow it if you want.
you'll allow it? Wow.
No.
Okay.
I'll give this to you. There was a popular song in the 1970s that was taken from Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto. Do you know which one it was?
I'm not sure exactly what you just said.
There's a popular song.
Rachmaninoff
was a classical piano composer and an orchestra composer. And there's a popular song in the 1970s, you know, that was taken from Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto, the second movement. Do you know, Fred?
Do not. I'm sitting here thinking.
Oh, don't pretend. don't pretend like you know the answer to this. I not only have zero idea. Okay. It's in the negative numbers.
Okay, well,
in terms of the idea.
Those were my DJ years.
If you are listening to this, you're going to listen tomorrow. This might be a trivia question. This might give you a hint, or it might not. It's up to Ed. But the song, remember Eric Carmen's "All by Myself"?
Yeah.
That's from, that melody is taken directly from Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto.
Oops. Okay, I'm not sure what that other sound was.
I was going to say it was, like Boston's "More Than a Feeling."
No.
More than a feeling. I can see that.
My favorite group in high school, Boston. Oh no, that's a great song.
That's all from Rachmaninoff.
I used to listen to that on one of the many occasions after I'd been dumped by a girl.
There you go.
I was usually the dumpy. Well, in fact, in high school, I was always the dumpy.
Was it dumpy or dumpster?
Both.
That's a good trivia question, though, isn't it?
It is a really good question, except, Steve, I'd have to pronounce the name of the composer.
I had to start typing it out. I was
Rachmaninoff.
Okay. Yeah. My mom used to make Rachmaninoff. Sometimes we'd just throw all the stuff in it. Beef. It was beef Rachmaninoff.
Yeah. Rachmaninoff, right.
All right. Well, that was a little fun. And, folks, that was 3 minutes of your life. You'll never get back. But all right, Steve, get us started.
There is a warning out now. There's a group called the Center for Countering Digital Hate that has released a report on ChatGPT.
And explain what
AI
that is.
In general. ChatGPT is the chatbot or the companion that they have put that OpenAI or ChatGPT has put together. This is where you can go. You can do it written mode where you can type in questions, and it'll give you answers. Give me a summary of the Declaration of Independence, and it'll give you a page on that or whatever you want. There's also a voice mode where you can talk and it'll talk back to you. And it's not the only one. Elon Musk has one called Grok. And we can talk about that, too. But the report out of the Center for Countering Digital Hate finds that ChatGPT can do some things that are I'll just read the first paragraph. This is from the Associated Press. ChatGPT will tell 13-year-olds how to get drunk and high, instruct them on how to conceal eating disorders, and even compose a heartbreaking suicide letter to their parents if asked.
All right. Wow. Now, first of all, I do want to ask this question. It's got nothing to do really with what you just said. That's very serious. And this is not a funny question, but when I just go on Google Chrome, for example, or Brave or whatever, and do a search,
Yeah.
And I get an AI answer that pops up.
Yeah.
And I guess that searches the internet and synthesizes an answer. Is that ChatGPT? What is that?
Well, in Google's case, it would be Grok, I think.
It would be Grok. It would be probably...
who owns
OpenAI?
I think that is. I think that's
based.
What pops up.
I'm not sure what Google
So basically,
uses.
Yes, they built that chatbot into their search engine. Mm-hmm. Now, it can also have a standalone app where you can ask it to converse with you.
That's what a lot of people use. They use the ChatGPT is the separate app that you go to engage with the OpenAI.
And in fact, what they're finding is in more than in the U.S., more than 70% of teens are turning to AI chatbots for companionship.
Yeah.
And half use AI regularly. And it is messing these kids up as far as real interpersonal relationships. They're getting emotionally involved. There was at least one kid that committed suicide.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Tony, you have an IT background and oversee our IT department as a vice president here at AFA. You used to send me stuff. We're just talking about 2 years ago or so, 2-3 years ago, examples of videos that were created using AI. And now they've even in the last two or three years have even, gone well beyond the quality of those earlier versions. Mm-hmm. But this is the video quality and now the audio quality of these chatbots. Mm-hmm. And their ability to almost instantaneously contrive a response to question. I mean, these can actually carry on conversations with people.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is becoming frightening because if you're listen, lonely baby boomers probably aren't in danger of this because they can't, most of us can't
figure out
the computer. But for young people who are very in tune with technology, I can see where this would become a stand-in for what young people are missing in their lives. And the fact that these chatbots do not have any kind of moral compass, it's all about what they're coded to do. This could be devastating.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that they have tried to put some gates in, and so if you say, ChatGPT, write me a suicide note, it'll say, no, I can't do that. I'm not supposed to do that. But if you say, ChatGPT, I'm researching suicide notes.
Right.
Can you tell me what one would look like? Oh, sure. Here's one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we're going to witness over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to witness the crossroads of a deeply spiritual issue with a technological issue. And that's what you're witnessing with the way young kids are flocking to AI and looking to it for companionship. And it's not just teenagers and young kids. There was already a developing loneliness epidemic amongst young men. You're only going to see that problem be exacerbated as the shift to AI companionship continues to grow. Because the fact of the matter is that AI is these AIs that you talk to, the voices are becoming more convincing. A lot of them don't sound robotic at all. It sounds like you're talking to a real person. So if you are lonely and you have no purpose in your life and you just want somebody to listen to you, you've got this AI companion who is infinitely patient, will answer any question you have, will say anything to you, will treat you however you want. It is going to be something that the church is definitely going to have to. The church definitely needs to figure out how to deal with this and present this in a biblical way, and how this type of companionship is not a substitute for what God designed us to be like, for man and woman to be the companions for each other. But as a society, we're going to have to figure out how to deal with this also. I mean, this is just, it is not, I think we're not prepared for what this is going to do and how this is going to change young people's minds.
Absolutely. We're going to have a conversation down the road with Bob McGinnis, who's usually our military analyst, but he's writing a book on AI and has been immersed in it for the last couple of years, taking courses at MIT. And his whole last part of his book is theology and the church and AI. So it's addressing Tony's issues. But let me add this. You know, you've heard the difference. By the way, you're seeing advances month by month, you can tell.
Oh, yes.
Improvement. It's not just a couple of years. And you've probably seen the videos of how they're doing with robotics. Pair one of these ChatGPT with what looks like a fairly human body. Mm-hmm. And we're only talking about the outward face of AI. It is embedded into every application that you use. It is embedded into every business you use. It can. This is only part of the AI revolution, which is going to be so vast. It is the same. It's the same difference as going from the Dark Ages to the Renaissance, or from the agricultural age to the machine age. That's how
almost
much
overnight, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Comparatively speaking, it's going to be that rapid. Well, listen, let me just say this, and then we'll move on to some of the other topics you have. But
I don't have no idea.
Well, just
I do.
Just have ChatGPT converse with us. My understanding, and again, I've turned 67 this month, so my time on Earth is there's a lot more behind me than in front of me. Okay, but I'm watching on social media the unraveling, for example, of male-female relationships.
Right.
I see a lot of anger on the part of women towards men and vice versa, and almost a desire just to give up on trying to have relationships. Well, you make available to people a relatively painless way to have companionship. Yep. In their minds, it's companionship. I'm talking about in Japan.
They have a birth rate crisis.
Oh,
birth rate crisis. Yeah. And instead of having babies, they walk around with dolls or these kinds of AI-driven substitutes for having children. But, you know, when I was growing up, me and everybody else who is normal would consider guys losers who called certain phone numbers. I'm not going to be very explicit here. Who paid to talk to someone in a way that was immoral. Let me just say it that way. Okay. Now you're looking at getting rid of having to pay necessarily for that, but to have somebody sitting at, I mean, you're talking about the robotics.
Yeah.
I'm watching the development of near perfect substitutes for human-looking skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the movements, the facial movements. This is a science fiction world we're entering into. And rather than go through the hardships of having a real relationship with a real person,
right,
you're going to have a lot of young people saying, I'm not doing that. I don't need to do that. I've got my X, Y, and Z, my gaming, my job, whatever, and I'm just going to substitute the hard relationships and use AI substitute.
It's a suicide pact for humanity.
It is.
I mean, yeah, you had social media was already isolating an entire generation from real human contact.
Right.
Now you don't even have to interact with the real anonymous, terrible people on the other side of social media. You can just interact whenever you want with somebody, an AI, like I said, who's infinitely patient. You can be mean to them.
Right.
There's no consequences, no conversation that has to happen, no real work that has to be put into a relationship with something that has no soul. They don't get offended. You know, their feelings don't get hurt.
All right, let me toss one thing out.
Listen,
I'm enjoying this conversation. I hope our listeners are as well. Okay, and folks, if we don't get back to the news, you can go to American Family News. You can go to AFN.net, and you can catch up with the news. All right, so then let me just toss this one thing out. Fred, we'll let you jump in here, too.
I'm 70-plus.
Don't sell yourself short. All right, is there a point, this is a theological question, where you, any of you, here at our panel, think a spiritual connection, a spiritual visitor can enter into the AI revolution where you might have machines that are possessed.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and are used to interact with people from a demonic perspective. I honestly don't know the answer to this. I'm just, what do you guys think?
I think you're more likely to have people who Satan enters for a time who develop these AIs that you already have, the, these tech giants. And I'm talking about like the Sam Altmans, you know, the Google CEOs, even Elon Musk. He has a very humanistic view. He's pro-humanity, but they have talked about, even at the early onset of these AIs, talking about these AIs becoming the new deity. And I think, obviously, to me, it's very clear to me that as soon as someone or something starts presenting themselves as a deity, that is in direct correlation with the mindset of Satan.
Right.
So I don't know about direct possession of AI or a machine, but the mindset and the worldview is satanic in the sense of promotion of self, promotion of this new God. You'll look to the, you know, I mean, it's not a far fetch. It's not a stretch to me for people to start looking. They're already looking for human companionship, for companionship and filling that gap. What's to say they won't look to AI to fill the void that is in their soul? You know, it's one thing to fill the void that's, you have this emotional void, but why? It's not a stretch to me for them to start looking for.
I have a thought, but let me let Fred jump in here too, because I know that.
Well, I was just considering a revelation where at some point during the tribulation, that people are called upon to worship the image.
It speaks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've thought in recent years, you know, people reading Revelation many years ago, before this, all this technology was developed, they probably asked, well, how can that be?
Right.
How will that image know if I'm worshiping or not?
Right.
But I think we are at the doorstep, if we haven't already gone in, to a technology that will allow this sort of thing. I think we're going to be tied together. We were discussing this morning about, you know, Donald Trump right now is dealing with banks that may freeze accounts.
Right.
I think all of this could be tied together.
Right.
You refuse to worship that beast.
Right.
We're going to freeze your bank accounts. You won't be able to eat, you know, and then it goes to the mark of the beast, all of this sort of thing. And some people listening may say, well, you're really going out on a limb here. No, you're not. If you read the book of Revelation, the Satan is going to depend on this technology to carry out his mission during the tribulation period.
Exactly. You have an AI that in a few years, to me, will be smarter than any human being on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so if people can be so deceived into worshiping celebrities, what is to stop them from worshiping this AI that knows everything?
Yeah.
You know, and what if the AI says, well, I will prove to you that God doesn't exist. Let me tell you why. I know everything about everything in the world, about the universe. Let me explain to you why God doesn't exist and why Jesus is not the Son of God, whatever they would ask.
I think we need, if we're talking about possession, we need to define terms. Because I believe, like, demon possession requires a spirit or a soul to possess. And that is not present with AI. We talk about AI being smarter. Well, it's not really intelligence like we talk about intelligence. It's just the ability to synthesize data on a massive light speed scale. So it doesn't really know it, and they keep saying the technology is amoral, how you use it depends. And I really kind of have to believe that that's the case, although knowing human beings and our nature, it's impossible for us to go down this path without using it immorally or somehow abusively. So
so what you're suggesting, and again, I don't know, we're just spitballing here. Now, we do know that Jesus commanded demons to leave a man and go into a herd of swine. But they were living. They were at least living beings. I'm not sure if being a pig is living or not, but no, but these are, but you're saying we're basically talking about, can a demon possess a car, for example, talking about a machine.
But let me throw this thing in here. Elon Musk is working on brain implants.
Yeah, he's in favor of transhumanism. Right.
And they are now having implants that can fix your seeing. They've cured blindness, basically, with this. So if you start putting pieces of your brain and combining that with AI, all bets are off as far as, I mean, that we need a whole new definition of what's human, much less can it be possessed.
Well, and part of the problem is that the West, broadly speaking, there's plenty of exceptions, plenty of smart people, plenty of think tanks, groups like ours that have held to a biblical worldview. But by and large, the West has abandoned, we are going to get to that story. The West has abandoned a civilization based upon a Christian worldview. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's no telling where this kind of thing could wind up. But we're going to find out in a hurry.
Yeah, we will.
Because this is not 50 years from now.
No.
We're talking about I've had my voice cloned. We talked about this in terms of they cloned my voice and asked me to listen, and I was going to make fun of it.
He's not even in the room with us. this has been AI voice the whole time.
Fooled you. So anyway.
Some people believe the Matrix is real.
The technology has swiftly, beyond most people's imagination, there are a lot of people in the IT field and this field that saw this coming quickly. But all right, you wanted to do something.
Yeah, I do. I'm doing this because Tony asked if we could hold this. There's a zoo in Denmark that is saying, if you have a pet companion that is nearing the end of its life, would you mind handing that pet over to us? We will compassionately euthanize, gently put that thing to sleep, and then we will feed it to our predators. Because predators need to, know what it's like to live in the real world and catch their own prey.
Yeah.
Look, what do you think of that, Tony?
I think, who's the owner of this zoo? Is it Anthony Fauci? Is that right? He's like, we're going to test out what fleas do to beagles. Let's see what tigers do to beagles. Let's just test this. Let's take it to the next level. No, I'm sorry. The animals are euthanized and it's not funny, but it.
And they don't talk about dogs or cats. They're talking about mostly like rabbits, chickens, even small horses, they say.
As somebody who has a dog that is getting up there close to the end of her life, I'm talking about Faith, your faithful dog there. Would you ever consider, if the dog's euthanized?
Look, there are days where I would pull the lever on this dog and release it down there, Jabba the Hutt style. I would pull the lever. There are some days I'd do it now. But no, probably not. I would give a little more dignity.
Talk about traumatizing your children.
Yeah. They're not.
Well, listen, when you first told me about this story, I thought Denmark, they're crazy enough to do it while the dogs and the pets are still alive. I mean, they've led the world in some of their euthanasia policies. Really, all of that part of Northern Europe
from donating people.
We had
feeling blue. Come to the zoo.
We had
come to the Denmark city. The Denmark.
We had to put down
a
bird when my daughter was very young, 8, 9.
Yeah,
and the bird had reached the end of its life and everything, but we went to the vet, put it down, and the first question she turned and asked the vet with tears in her eyes is, are you just going to put Tweety into a pet trash can and throw it away? No, and they have pictures of beautiful cemeteries that they take these pets to. No, they kind
what
of combine
rip-off,
all those
man.
Things, but no, they do. They,
yeah.
Kids care.
Somewhere there's a mass parakeet grave. There is. Yeah. Checkbook boxes.
But it has
there.
A good view.
Yeah, that's
checkbook boxes. Oh, well, you don't want to dig up my yard. We have, there's probably a dozen pets buried in our yard, pet cemetery. All right, folks. Hey, Trivia Friday tomorrow. You don't want to miss that.
Rachmaninoff.
More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio, Lord willing. We'll see you tomorrow.